We've heard about race, local economics, campaign money, but how are Black gays and lesbians thinking about the election? We have two voices from opposite sides of the political spectrum. Jasmine Canick is an activist and journalist and a liberal voice you hear regularly on our show. And Abner Mason is the executive director of AIDS Responsibility. He's also a former president of the gay and lesbian advocacy group, the National Log Cabin Republicans. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Hello, thanks.
So, Abner, let me start with you. There's, I'm remembering a sketch on The Daily Show where basically Stephen Colbert runs around gathering up all the constituents for the Democratic Party, and there's like one lesbian, one gay guy, one Black guy, one South Asian. There's kind of a joke about how the Democrats have all these different constituencies, but so do Republicans. And how did you get involved as a gay Black man with the Republican Party?
I think like a lot of gay Republicans, I tend to be more fiscally conservative, socially more moderate to liberal. And so that is the sort of formula that I think defines, the political formula that defines most gay and lesbian Republicans. And I also worked in government for quite a while in Massachusetts. I was chief policy advisor for the previous two governors, both of whom were Republican, Governor Paul Cellucci and Governor Swift. So I was politically involved in terms of philosophy, but I also worked in Republican administration.
How did your leadership of the Log Cabin Republicans add race into the mix there? Because I'm assuming that the organization is mostly white.
It is. I think Republicans... tried, we don't always achieve it, but try to view race as not a defining issue, and to treat people equally regardless of their race or gender. So from my perspective, when I was president of Log Cabin, people chose me because I thought I'd do a good job, and hopefully I did. I think they were pleased to have some diversity in the leadership, but it certainly was not a situation where people said, oh, we need someone Black, so we'll pick Abner.
Jasmine, let me turn to you. So when you think about your role in the universe where you have a blog, you do political advocacy, you do a lot of different things, where do you fit in terms of raising specifically gay and lesbian issues and then also translating them to the Black community and to other communities?
You know, I sort of look at my role as just that of, you know, being an African-American female who is also lesbian. So, you know, I'm dealing with all of the issues that, you know, we deal with as Blacks, issues we deal with as gays and lesbians, as well as just being female. So when I look at the work that I do, I'm always very conscious to make sure that, you know, especially sort of in the gay and lesbian political arena, which oftentimes is very colorless, that, you know, we have a voice and that we're represented. And that's very, very important to me. And at the same time, in the African-American community, it's very important that it's known that we're not all homophobic and that we're not all heterosexual and that we are and have always been an important part of the community. So it's kind of blending the two together. And race, you know, becomes an issue oftentimes within the gay and lesbian community as well as homophobia in the African-American community.
Abner was just saying that being fiscally conservative is one of the issues that he thinks unites Black gay Republicans. Is there such a thing for liberals or Democrats?
We have a lot of issues that unite us. I think one misconception that has been out there a long time, especially as it relates to gay politics, is that all gays are only concerned with gay marriage. And I have to be the first one to tell you that as an African American, that's probably the last thing on my list, if it's on my list. I'm trying to pay the rent, put food on my table, and keep a roof over my head. As many, not only African American gays and lesbians, but Latino and Asian who, you know, we oftentimes don't live that life you see on the L Word or in Queer as Folk. We don't live in West Hollywood, you know, we live in West Adams and we live in Leimert Park and we live where other Blacks and Latinos tend to live. And I think that, you know, is probably one of the more defining issues that unites us in terms of the economy and economics and being able to take care of each other. I know that healthcare is a huge issue for all of us right now. Being able to, again, put food on our table and have a job to go to.
Abner, is there room to reach across the aisle, not based on sexuality, but to gay and lesbian Democrats?
To reach across the aisle in the sense of...
Across political parties.
in a sense of trying to get to accomplish things that are good for the country.
Well, yeah, and trying to push a legislative agenda around whatever it is, around health care. I mean, could there be a coalition, the log cabin Republicans reaching out to some...
The Stonewall Democrats.
There you go.
Well, I think that there are definitely opportunities for common ground, and you know, we have to find those. It's not always easy because we live in such a polarized political environment. But if we're going to accomplish good things for our country that we all love and we all want, you know, this America to be better tomorrow than it is today, we want to solve problems, I absolutely think it's going to be critical that we find ways to work together, and that's going to require some mutual respect and a real search for common ground. But it's not easy in the current environment.
Jasmine, you're putting together a forum in Los Angeles dealing with African-American gays and lesbians and political agendas. You reached out to the candidates. Did any of them respond? Do you feel like the candidates even have this on the radar?
No, I don't feel like they have it on the radar. I've heard from Obama's camp. I've heard from Hillary's camp. We did reach out to both the leading Democratic and Republican candidates. I think it's, you know, the forum for me and for a lot of people is particularly important because when you think again of gay and lesbian politics, you'd never think of sort of the subgroups that come into that, African-Americans, Latinos, and Asians. And if I think if the candidates and the people who are, you know, do their strategic planning, you know, put all of that together, there could really be some quote-unquote audacity and some change out there. I mean, when I think of last year, and I'm sure you'll remember this, Farai, when, you know, Obama, you know, went to South Carolina and had Donnie McClurkin, there was an uproar over that. But, and, you know, and this, again, was an event to reach out to African-American constituents
To put it out there, he's the singer and pastor who
right.
has criticized homosexuality.
Was once gay and now has turned openly homophobic towards all gays and lesbians. So, you know, instead of, you know, maybe reaching out to the African-American gay and lesbian community, Obama's, you know, camp went and found a white gay pastor and put him in front of this Southern Black audience. And those are the kind of things that I hope not to see happen again. And one of the ways that can happen is by us having a conversation.
All right. Well, Jasmine and Abner, thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Sure. Thank you.
Jasmine Kanick is an activist, blogger, and liberal voice you hear regularly on the show. She joined me here in the studios of NPR West. And Abner Mason is executive director of AIDS Responsibility. He's also a former president of the Log Cabin Republicans.